polish for the culture, a place for us to learn and thrive. It's Rachel here, and I'm back again with another episode. I hope you are doing well. It has been a long, long while, I know, but I'm in my last semester of college, and it's not for the weak, okay? So I had to really put 100% into that, but wanted to just give you another episode about a topic I've been meaning to do for a really, really long time, so I'm really excited. And before I start doing that, I just want to say congratulations to all the high school seniors who committed to college. I know May is that time everyone committed and is decided on where they're going to be. And no matter where you're going, if it's private, public, community, trade school, whatever it is, you should be super proud of yourself for making it into this point, because we're still in a pandemic and people still act like everything is fine, but it's not fine. We all have our own things going on in our lives. So be proud of yourself for making it to this point. And I wish everyone all the best as you enter this new chapter of your lives. Yes. So today we are going to talk about scholarships. That is, like, I feel like when people think of college or school in general, scholarships is always top three of the list. So we already know that college is super expensive, and sometimes financial aid doesn't really come through or doesn't really give as much as we would like. So that's where scholarships come in. And we're going to talk about where to find them and how to be an amazing applicant so that money could just keep flowing in your bank account every time you apply. So with me to talk about this, I have the amazing Ashley Hill, who is a scholarship search strategist and founder of Scholarship Success School. So hello, Ashley. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Rachel. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm so honored to be here and excited to share some scholarship tips and advice with your viewers and listeners.
Yes, I'm super excited. I've followed Ashley for a long time, so I'm just super excited that you're here. So let's get into these questions. So before a student even starts applying to anything, like, what are things that they should have prepared or think about?
I love this question, Rachel, because a lot of people don't ask this. They want to just jump right into it. And I'm so glad that you really took the time to ask this question. And really the first thing is you really have to really own in on what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are you a part of? What are you passionate about? What interests you? What motivates you? What's your future career interest? And it's okay if you don't have all of the answers, but to start putting that information together. And the reason why I suggest this, and this comes from my experience also as working or serving as a scholarship judge, is that scholarship committees, they really want to put their dollars, those scholarship dollars behind students that they're already taking initiative, they're already making paths and kind of really setting out on a journey to be successful, not only in college, but in life after college. And so they really want to put their money behind that. And so it's up to the applicant to really present their personal brand, to really present who they are, but do it in such a way that it's like, without a doubt, this is who we want. You know, this is the scholarship winner, and this is who we're going to award the scholarship dollars to. So really just putting a plan in place. I'm going to add another piece to this is once you've done that part, of, you know, just understanding who you are and your strengths and weaknesses and what you're a part of, is really start to document that. And I call it a scholarship search resume, but start to put that down, start to organize that information. Where have you volunteered before? What's your GPA looking like? What are you a part of any academic clubs? Do you work? Have you worked in the summers? Have you ever done an internship? Begin to document those things. What do you like? What are your talents? And then once you do that, is create a schedule that works for you. I don't believe in a cookie cutter world. There's no cookie cutter anything really. And so, you know, begin to say, look, I'm going to set aside, I'm going to invest 1 hour a week. You know, I'm going to set the stage. Do I have my transcripts handy? You know, do I have everything ready that when it's time to search and submit, that I have all the materials ready so that at that point, I'm just following through. So those are really some great ways and some great things that every student should be doing before they even start to apply for scholarship.
Thank you, Ashley. Those are all, like, super important. I think what's really interesting about what you're saying is, like, if you're a senior in high school, you kind of already thought about these things when you're applying to school, because, like, the supplements, they ask you about your strengths, your weaknesses, mm-hmm. and like, how can you make an impact at their college or in your, the career path that you want to do and things like that. So you, even though these may sound like really impossible questions, they're really not, because these are things that you've been thinking about as you've been applying to college. So it's just all about being organized. But even if you don't, if you're not a senior, if you're like a little younger or even past that college stage, I think definitely agree with you. I love how you called it like a resume. Just having different sections about your strengths, your weaknesses, like what have you been up to, what like accomplishments that you have. That's really important. I think that having that won't just help with scholarships, but could help in all different types of things that you're doing. If you want to get a job, or if you like want to start something of your own, you know, just having that information and like in a separate place, like it's definitely, I could see how that's definitely fundamental. And I might have to take a page in your book about that.
And you know, I'll tell you, Rachel, I love it because I'm a big believer in repurposing. Mm-hmm. And that's a side note. I know we're going to get into it in one of your questions later, but if you're writing everything from scratch, doing everything from scratch, it's definitely time to update that strategy and yeah. update that method. But yeah, I love that, because when you begin to put those experiences down, those, like you said, I mean, of course, on the scholarship side, they make for great scholarship essays. They can help you fill out your application a lot quicker. Also, I love to hand a copy of that to people that I ask to write a letter of recommendation for me, because they may not know all yeah. of my experiences, you know, so they can speak to, you know, my involvement in this or my strength in this area. So, and of course, like you said, it's great for, you know, even, you know, once you're in college, right? If you want to get a mentorship or an internship, or you're trying to get into the field. So I love that it's multiple purposes.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good point. Cause you make me think of one of my friends who wanted to do this research internship, and she just emailed our professor like, oh, hey, can you do a recommendation? And she was like, yeah, but could you like send your resume and just explain why you want to do it and all and this, that, and the third? And she was just like, I thought it was just a yes or no question. Why are you asking right. all these things? And I was like, whoa, I didn't know like professors do that, but it makes sense. And I think especially like with the pandemic and how like not everybody has had like the one-on-one like personal relationships with professors or mentors as mm-hmm. much as they would like. So like just making their lives easier and having like, okay, this is why I'm qualified, this is what I've been doing, will definitely just expedite like the process a lot better. So yeah,
absolutely,
totally agree with you on that. And the next question, which I think is like one of the most important questions that I think every single person asks, is like, where can a student even find good scholarships to apply to in the first place? Like what keywords should they be looking for, or like websites they should be looking into?
Right. And again, I love this question because this is like the essence of what I do. And I never really share my background, but I was a researcher for years. I was a biology major, went off to corporate life, you know, and so I love the looking for things. But I realized something when you're working with students is it has to be a method to it. It's got to be a method to the madness. And it's got to have some steps to it, because, you know, there's so many different resources out there. You know, I see them all the time. And I tell students, when you are searching, you have to remember something. When you search specifically, you're going to get specific results. When you search generally, you're going to get general results, because there's a big difference between saying senior, high school senior scholarships and high school African-American female seniors going into nursing scholarships. It's a very big difference in the two. And so in terms of where can students find them, I believe that it's so important to understand priority. And the first priority is in their backyard. I say in their backyard, in the local community. And it makes sense when you think about it, because you live there, you're a resident there, you've patronized so many of the businesses are yourselves, right? The grocery store, the bank, you know, those different places. And so they like to give back. And so a lot of times they give back through community initiatives like scholarships. And a good side note I'll throw in there is, even if you're listening and you're like, hey, Ashley, what if I'm already in college? There are also funding set aside for that as well. So it's not just high school, but they even cover undergraduate students as well. So I really like that. But it starts with, you know, if you are at high school, is seeing if your school counselor, they may already have a list of local scholarships, and these could be from your local banks, your local restaurants, local law offices, they're huge for that, local nonprofits, whether that is social, religious, industry-based, doesn't matter. If you already know, if students already know what they want to go into, there are tons of professional associations. A lot of them have local chapters and they want to grow the field. So they love to give back, or they'll work with nonprofits, you know, to give back. So starting there, once students have exhausted that, I love going to the universities. And here's something that a lot of people don't know is even if, so let's say that, you know, someone's listening and they're like, well, I don't want to go to school in my local area. And that was me. I went away too. But here's the thing, though, is you have to remember colleges, the way their financial aid office and scholarship office, the way it's set up is it's really two different categories. There are internal scholarships or institutional, meaning that you would have to be a student going there. But then there are external scholarships where you do not necessarily have to be a student attending there, and they tend to be local. And so there, it's very possible that your school counselor may only have 50 of these local scholarships, where the college down the street or the community college down the street could have 100. They may just know more organizations than that one high school. And so that's why I suggest for students to tap into that. You don't even have to call. You don't have to try to explain, hey, I'm not going here, I'm looking for money. You don't have to go into that. Just go to the website and take a look at the opportunities. And if they fit and they're local, then I suggest they definitely take advantage of that. Now, in terms of keywords, this is going back to the scholarship search resume. That's why I love that document so much. It's because once you put together that resume, and that's why even if it takes 90 minutes, it is 90 minutes well worth it. Because as you begin to look at those different categories, certain phrases should start to pop out. For example, if you're African-American, female, you're going into, let's say you want to be a biology teacher. You know, that's still a STEM field. Let's say that you play tennis. Maybe you have 100 volunteer hours. I would start to plug those in as the keywords. So, you know, scholarships for African-American females, scholarships for high school tennis players, scholarships for volunteer service. And so I would begin to turn the things that you're interested in into the keywords. And this is why, because you know for a fact, if you put in things that are from your scholarship search resume, you know that the results that come back have a very good chance of being, of those scholarships being a great fit for you.
Yeah, wow, you just dropped some major gems here. Like, wow. I think like everything you said is so important, because I think it's very easy to just like go on Google and search scholarships for me or whatever. And then you get some random general scholarship.com like or .org website, and you get overwhelmed by all the options. And then you're like, wait, I don't live in this state. I don't even do this. I don't even do that. So I can't even apply. So it's just like, you just get discouraged. I think that was kind of me in high school. And something I wished I did better was be more specific about what scholarships I want. And not only what I want, that I know that I will get. Does it make sense to just search scholarships and apply to something as general as like the Pepsi scholarship when there's scholarships that are more specific to me, like a pre-med African-American student doing X, Y, Z or from like this state. So definitely is, I think specific keywords, like you said, is key. And the local scholarship is really important. Not a lot of people consider, and then they just kind of end up being wasted. And then it even discourages local organizations from even doing it, because there's people that don't even like apply in the first place. So tapping into like things like churches, community centers, is like super important. I think what makes it important is like the fact that there's not competition. I think when you do apply to like the Coca-Cola scholarship, where everybody knows about it around the country and around the world, you already know in the back of your mind, I probably might not get it because I'm competing with millions of or thousands of millions of people. But if it's just your church or like a law office or the mayor's office, and it's just like, okay, maybe 10, 15, 20 people, there's a more of a likelihood you'll get it. And there's even places that just want to give money to everyone, that is not a competition. I know my church started like a few years ago, a scholarship for all the people going to college. And of course they had first place, second place, third place, and the dollar amounts were different, but mm-hmm. they made sure if you're going to apply, you're going to get something. And I found that amazing. I was like, shoot, no matter what my grade is, if I just apply to this thing, I'll get something, even if it's just like 500, like a few hundred dollars. And that's why I kept telling people in this church, you better apply to this thing because not everybody does this. But so there's many places that just do that, that just give money for the sake of you're a student and you need money. So local, I see them as more, they really care about the community and want to give back more than like major corporations and companies and things like that. So definitely tap into that and yeah, look into that if you can, because it definitely will be worth it and you'll start really seeing results when you go into the local route, like Ashley was saying.
Absolutely.
So yes. My next question is like in terms of like the essays. So I know this is kind of the part of applying to scholarships where people kind of dread the most, depending on who you are. I personally dreaded it because I'm not really, I don't really like writing like that. Maybe that's why I'm in STEM. I don't know. But writing is not really a lot of people's forte, especially essays. And when you already have senioritis or you're just in school in general, and you're like, in my free time, I have to also be writing another essay. But that's what a lot of places require. So how exactly can you make your essay like stand out? Like if a judge came and looked at, they'll be like, yes, this person knows what they're talking about.
Another great question. And you're right. As soon as I mention essays, people check out. They start having flashbacks to high school, like that English class that they couldn't stand. You know, and that used to be me for a little while. But I like to start with this is before the essay can stand out, we have to get that mindset right. And so this is what I ask my real simple question is I say, okay, you don't like to write, but can you tell a story? And some people say, yeah. And I tell them, you can go all the way back. You can even go before kindergarten, right? We grow up, we learn by telling stories. We would read stories. We listen to stories. We call that music, right? Poetry, television, movies. You know, those of us that maybe had a little summer job, right? We would come home like, mom, oh my God, this customer was crazy. Guess what happened? So stories are all around us. When we get together with family, I love going to family reunions, especially when I was a lot younger, because I would hear my grandmother share stories of relatives that had, you know, passed away before I was even born. So stories are all around us. And so I tell students, you have to look at your essay as you're just telling a story. But you're telling an important story and you're telling a piece of your story. And the good news is no one else can tell your story like you can. You're the most qualified person to talk about your life, because it is your life. And I tell them that that's your secret sauce. So once we get the mindset right, then they're like, so I'm like, now do you think you can tell your story? Yeah, I can tell the story. You know, so once we get the mindset right, now it's looking at a few things. First of all, and I'm telling you this from firsthand, is the mechanics. Do you know how to structure an essay? Do you know how to do, how to get the syntax right, the grammar, the spelling, you know, just your bare bones, you know, that's a part of that. But also too, is do you know what parts of your story you should be telling? Because an essay that's only 500 words, you can't tell your whole life story in 500 words.
Right.
And so this is what I suggest, and it works really well, is going back to that scholarship search resume. That thing is like golden for this process. But going back to that, and once you look at the requirements of the essay, so for example, if this is a STEM scholarship, I was a STEM major, so if this was if you're looking at a STEM scholarship, right, and they're saying, tell us about why you want to go into your STEM career. I'm not going to talk about basketball, even if I played it. I'm not going to talk about, well, you know, I am Black. You know, I'm not going to talk about those things. I'm going to find some experience. So if I volunteered, maybe in a science lab, I'm going to say, well, you know, I was in a science lab and there was an experiment and it went horribly wrong. But in that experience, I learned that mistakes do happen, but it's what you do with the mistake that really matters the most. You know, I would like, that's a great intro, right? And then I would start from there. And so it's all about telling the part that's relevant, but also being sure to stick to the requirements at the same time. I can't tell you how many students, when I would judge, you know, the resume, the GPA was great, you know, the other things were great. But then we get to the essay and you could tell they were trying to like stuff it. You know what I mean? Rachel, like they were trying to like, oh, let me brag about the 10 awards I got last year. Yeah. And nothing to do with it.
Right.
Like, not that was relevant. Not
the question.
Not the question. And I can tell you, a judge picks up on that. So it's really just finding a way to just be you tell your story, but make sure that it flows. Because see, the challenge also with 500 words is you don't have time to tell us 20 years worth of something or right. 10 years worth of something. You have to be able to share the example, give me some supporting details, wrap it up in a nice bow and end it. So, and it's practice, right? It takes practice. It takes also, and this is where I believe that you need to have other people on what I call your scholarship team. You need people that can look at this and say, look, you're a great person, but let's tighten this up. This sentence is a little lacking. This sentence isn't clear. I didn't really understand when you said this, or here's a suggestion on how you can transition. And so if you have an adult you can trust, if that's mom and dad, if that's somebody that's already in college, that can say, look, you know, here, let me look at this for you. Maybe an employer, maybe someone, like you said, Rachel, maybe at church, maybe someone that's in the workforce already. Maybe they do a lot of writing for their position and they can kind of help you, but never be ashamed to ask for help.
Yes, I totally agree with everything that you said. Like, I think that's a really good way you put it. Like, you're just telling the story. I think that's a lot of what writing is, like telling stories about things personal to us or about something else or about the world in general. And I think that's a really good way to put it, because that's something that everybody can do. And once you put that out there, it's just about like cleaning it up and making sure it like makes sense thematically. So I definitely agree about that. Like, and I think that's a great way to kind of ease your mind going into it. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm loving this conversation because I'm just like taking notes in my head about everything that you're saying. So the next thing I wanted to say, okay, you kind of mentioned this before, but I think what I think also kind of just prevents people from taking, like applying to scholarships is like lack of consistency. Like, and obviously life is hectic. Sometimes a lot of things come up and you don't apply as much as you want, but also like if you're kind of already dreading doing something, it's like already you're less likely to actually do it and be consistent. And scholarships is not just I'm just gonna apply to one or the one that gives me the most money and then like I'll be fine. It's just like a daily practice of applying to as much as possible so you can get a lot, which is what all the people you see on social media, I won 900,000, I won $2 million in scholarships. It wasn't just like, I applied to a $2 million scholarship and I got that. It was like consistent, like little scholarships that piled up. So I think that is kind of, I know for me, when I was applying to scholarship, that was kind of how I didn't really get as much scholarships I wanted because of like consistency. I wasn't like disciplined or consistent enough in doing that. And I know that many people told me the same thing. So how can a student stay consistent when applying to scholarships?
And you know, consistency, I can tell you this, is we have to really get to the root. Because, you know, does that mean that I haven't made the time? Because that's another thing is you got to talk about priorities. And the thing is with scholarships, it's a short-term priority. It's a high priority. But it's short term. You won't be in college forever. That might be 4 years, might be six if you do a master's. You know, if you go to med school, of course, it's a little bit longer, do a doctorate. But it's getting that part straight first, that this is an investment. It's an investment of my time. But the ROI, the return on investment, is going to be great. So it's worth it. But yeah, it starts with where is my issue? I think you have to pinpoint. And I tell students like this, it's almost like when you go to the doctor, right, they start to ask questions. What's your pain level? When did you first notice the pain? What else have you noticed? You know, they're trying to get to diagnose what exactly is the issue. And so I tell the students, you have to kind of operate, you have to kind of operate that way. And so is it a time issue? Is it that I've been holding off because I dread writing essays? Is it that I tried to search, I didn't really ask for help, now I'm stumbling trying to do it again? So once we pinpoint what the issue is, then we have to kind of own in on that. And I think a large part of the problem is students are doing this, and we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, they're just jumping into this. There's no process. There's no method to the madness. There's no strategy. And so I tell students, you have to start at the beginning. And I hear some students say, I don't want to do a resume. I don't know some of the answers. And I say, that's okay. Start somewhere. It'll come, you know, and you might see some gaps in that resume. You know, you may discover that I've only volunteered 20 hours. Okay, I need to find some ways to get some more. That way that I can kind of, you know, when it's time to start searching, I don't have to skip out on all the scholarships that require more than 20 hours, you know, of community service. But also too, is this is understanding that this is a numbers game. You're not going to win every scholarship that you apply for. It's just life. I don't know anyone that's done it. It's same experience when I was doing this. And so with that understanding is that with every application, you should be asking for the next one is, how do I get better? How do I make my essays better? Mm-hmm. How do I make my applications better? Yeah. How do I get better experiences? Who do I need to ask to come onto my scholarship team to help me? Who do I need to reach out to? What other connections do I have? If you're at church, that's a great community, right? Who in there works at a certain place that, oh, I need to talk to that person, or they can connect me to the person that I need to be connected with. So it's learning how to better yourself and really just gaining that confidence that, hey, if I continue to improve over time, even in small increments, I'm going to reach my goal. And the last thing that I would say is understanding, and this is a huge myth I hear students say, well, I'm only going to apply for scholarships, you know, at the end of the year, because that's only what scholarships are due. And I'm like, no, I do this for a living. There are scholarships due all year long. Mm-hmm. There's only 2 days on the calendar, I'll tell you, Rachel, that I've never seen a due date, and that was Christmas.
Yeah.
That was Thanksgiving. Okay. The other days, they're like free game, right? All the other holidays are on, everything's still in play. So with that being said, is you really have to go back to that schedule. And I tell students like this, it's not the quantity of time, it's the quality. What are you doing with the 15 minutes that you have? If you tell me you have 15 minutes, we're going to work those 15 minutes. If you only have 20 minutes, we're going to work those. And so that's where that process comes in. So are you at step one? Do the resume. Take the 15 minutes and jot down your strengths. Okay, you've done that. Okay, now you're busy again. Come back tomorrow. You got another 15 minutes. Okay, jot down the weaknesses or whatever the next step is. Okay, you've done the resume. Okay, that Saturday, let's start looking for local scholarships. Do I even know where are the local nonprofits? Maybe I need to start with that first, is getting a list. So it's being able to do what you can with the time that you have.
Yes, I totally agree. that's also for me what I need to like realize, like what you said first about the root of the problem, like what really is it? Because it's not just, oh, I'm so busy. Like, right, really, why don't you want to do it? Because you make time for the things you want. I know that everyone is realistically busy and things come up that we don't plan for. But if you really want to do something, you'll make that time. If you really want to hang out with your friend, you got to make the time to hang out with your friend. If you really want to take a nap, that nap will come. It don't matter what you're doing, you're going to take that nap. And that's good. That's fine. But like you've been saying about priority, if this is a top priority for you, then you'll make that time and it'll act like a top priority. So getting into the root of it, like if it's, I just don't really want to write the essay, or I don't know where to start, or I don't really have anyone to help me. And tackling that, I could see how definitely that will help you be consistent in doing so. And I guess people always tell me this, but it's just like starting from somewhere, you just have to start and it will kind of flow into itself. If you just kind of keep hypothesizing in your head, like, oh, I want to do it, but I'm not sure, instead of doing it, then you're just wasting time. Like,
that's right.
The 2 days of applying and the 2 days of just thinking about applying, that's still 2 days spent. So what are you going to do with those 2 days, for example? So I totally agree. I think this is definitely the thing that people don't talk about, but that impacts everyone, about consistency and really like putting in that time. And I liked how you use a 15 minutes, 20 minutes thing. Like, if it really is that much time that you have, like, it's okay. I think people make it out to be like, I need to set out like 5 hours in my day of just scholarships, when realistically, no one really has that 5 hours. Some people do, but not a lot of people. So mm-hmm. if you generally only have like 15, 20, 30 minutes or an hour, just use it to the best of your advantage. And if you could genuinely, before you know it, if the goal you have is like, oh, I'm going to look up scholarships to apply for, you could generally find like so much in a 15 or 20 minutes if you're put your mind into it. So yeah, I definitely, yeah, I'm just sort of talking because I'm like really agreeing with a lot of what you're saying. But yes. Oh, okay. My next question, you also talk about it a little bit, but sometimes as you apply, you're not going to win everything, like you said. So what happens if a student doesn't win as many scholarships as they would like, what should they do from there?
Right. And, you know, it is a reality. It does happen. And you know what? I encourage them with this, that it's in the failures that you learn. And you learn that, okay, this didn't work last time. And that's why I encourage students, you know, when they don't hear back about a scholarship, you know, they found out that they weren't the winner, is go back to that application and ask for feedback. Go back to that team, go back to that mentor, go back to that school counselor or whomever, you know, they go to and say, look, you know, do you have some feedback for me? What is something that I could have done? Could I have done something better? Because like I said, those incremental steps, those small improvements, they're going to turn into big improvements. And you're going to see, you know, over time, you're going to get closer and closer to your goal. So that's the first thing. It's just understanding that. Also is going back to the diagnosing, right? Is, you know, once you're getting the feedback, see if there's a recurring theme. Is it an issue with the essays? It could be something as, was it even the right scholarship? Because that's a big one. Was it even the right fit? I ask students that, you know, you applied to the scholarship, but did you really meet the requirements? And did you meet all of them? Because that's a difference. Like, for example, if it say you must have a 3.5 and 50 community hours, well, if you had a 3.5 and you only did 5, you know, then you didn't really qualify and you spent a lot of time into that and you really shouldn't have. And that's why I really encourage students is stick to that scholarship search resume. If you played tennis, don't apply for football scholarships. You know, don't, and I know that's so like basic, but stick to what you've done. Stick to what's true to you. Stick to your brand, who you are, and only focus on scholarships in those areas. And that will alleviate that. But also too, like I going back to this, it is a numbers game. You can't just do 20 scholarships. And you said this earlier, Rachel, the people that have won $2 million and $900,000, they didn't apply for just one scholarship. No way. And that's why it starts with, let me start with those smaller local scholarships and let me rack those up and build my way up. Because I tell students all the time, whether it's $100 or 10, or whether it's a $1,000 scholarship or 10 $100 scholarships, it's still green. It's still the same. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so, you know, it's just following that process, you know, and just understanding, because I know students, and I noticed this too, they take these losses so personal. Yeah. And they take it as I'm a failure, but it's not, you're not a failure. This application wasn't successful. And so you just have to tweak it and make improvements to make the application successful, but never to take it personal.
Yes, that's like, definitely really important. Like it's very easy. I know when I was younger, I was doing this too. Like they didn't accept me because of me. I'm just not a good person. And it's just yes. Like, no, like, I mean, if you fit all the qualifications, then you definitely yes. would have been great, but you know, it could have been your application or if you could have tweaked this or did this. And I think like you said about like talking to somebody, looking back and getting feedback, I think that's difficult for people to do, like mm-hmm. going back to the thing that like didn't work out and actually facing the mistakes and like facing the errors that might have been a part of it, or even talking to someone about it and then you're like, they're telling you like, yeah girl, like you actually should have done this and that. Like criticism is hard for a lot of people. It's hard for a lot of people to take criticism. I'm also included in that. I'm working on that. Like, it's hard for people to tell you, like, it's hard for people to tell you, like, what you've done wrong, or to look at something and be like, ooh, I actually should not maybe have submitted this. And, like, yes, it's difficult, but you have to think about it as, like, it's part of how you grow. It's part of what will make you feel better. No one is just, like, perfect off the bat. No one is just successful out the womb. Everybody had like ups and downs, failures and successes to get where they need today. And this is just kind of the low point, and that's okay. because you could only go up from there. You could only go up from the low point, you know? So don't be afraid to just look at the back of those mistakes and talk to someone and get criticism. And, you know, don't be defensive about it. Don't make it personal. It's about the work that you did. It's not about you. No one said that you're not qualified or you're not smart or whatever. We're just talk, just think about it as they're talking to the application. They're not really talking to you. You're just holding the application up for them. So if that makes you feel better. And I actually thought of a question as you were speaking about this. Mm-hmm. I know what something that a lot of people like to do is kind of reuse and recycle like scholarships. I mean, essays that they've done in like high school or college, or essays that they've done for their supplements or applications, and just kind of tweak it a little bit and then submit it. Like, is that actually like legitimate? Is that okay to do since it's like really convenient? Is that okay to do? Or are you like, this is an abomination. Why would you do that?
You know what? I love it. And I know some people are like, wait a minute, how does that work? But I love it because here's the thing, and it just comes from experience, but typically there's probably about 10 main common essay prompts. You know, why do you deserve this scholarship? Tell us about your leadership experience. But tell us about, you know, your future career choice. Why are you going into that field and why? So one, and you, as students, you'll begin to see this, right? As you're applying, you're going to say, hey, I already answered that question. Right. And so what I do, what I suggest, you know, that you do is that you do repurpose that. I mean, that's going to save you some time. That's going to cut down the frustration. Also, it's going to help you to be more consistent, because at this point, you're just in the application, you know, you already have your transcript. You already know your GPA. You know those, you know, all the answers to all those things on there. So at that point, it's just getting them out faster. And so that's helping you to be more consistent as well. But yes, I'm a big believer in repurposing. The biggest thing is to make sure if you've mentioned something specific to the organization, it's not a good look if you send it to some, to another organization.
Right.
And they see that name. So make sure that you're still proofreading, you know, you're still going through the editing process, but yeah, definitely repurpose.
Yes. Okay. I love that. And I think that makes it like easier. So if people are like, I don't know where to start. Like, you definitely most likely have written something that scholarship committees are looking for 9 times out of 10, like throughout your high school career, college career, or whatever else that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Everyone kind of just recycles the same 20 questions, to be honest. And that's okay. Makes it easier for you. So yeah. Okay. That, yes. My last question is just a general, like, what advice do you have for students right now in the middle of applying for scholarships?
Absolutely. And I get this all the time, and I like it, because I know that everyone's in a different place, right? You may be the person that had the great GPA. You may be the person listening. You're like, well, I didn't quite get the 3.0. I'm in the twos somewhere, you know, and you may feel like there's nothing out there for me. But I can tell you, and this is purely experience, that there are scholarships out there for you. And the good news is that all of your interests, your talents, your hobbies, your achievements, where you live, your gender, your ethnicity, all the things about you represent categories of scholarships that exist. And so it's up to you to just take advantage of it and to say, I can do this. And don't be afraid to reach out. It's okay to reach out and say, okay, this is what I need. I need expertise in this area. I need someone to help me with essays. It's a great thing to pull those minds together. There's no one person, nobody's successful by themselves anyway. And so I would say is to get your team together. The next big thing is to work on that scholarship resume. It's a fluid document anyway. So if you start now and you think of something in a week, or maybe you get another award or something like that, it's okay to go back and update that, because the more you update it, that's increasing your eligibility for scholarships anyway. So it's helping you at the end of the day, but definitely take advantage of that. And then also is really spend time on developing your story. And one of the exercises that I encourage students to start with first is simply telling me in writing this is, why are you going into your field? Was it an experience in childhood? Was it positive or negative? Like for students that are going into medicine, either it's a positive experience and you're like, man, I want to save lives. I want to be a dentist. And you know, I thought I had a cavity and they were going to pull it out and the doctor said, you know, wasn't able to help me. Or it could be a negative issue where, okay, one of my cousins had cancer and passed away. And so from that negative experience, I don't want another child to experience childhood cancer. So that's why I want to be an oncologist, a pediatric oncologist, you know, something like that. But yeah, really taking time to own in on why are you going into the field you want to go into, and then connecting it to how's this scholarship going to help you to do that? Because that's what the judge want to see is by us giving you this scholarship, how is that going to help you to fulfill that career goal? And so it's up to you to make sure that you're portraying that and that you're communicating that in every single essay. Because I remind students, judges, we don't know you personally. We don't live with you. We don't work at your schools. We don't know you. So you have to make sure that you're communicating that, because we can't read between the lines. We know your GPA. We know what high school you went to, but that may be about it. So it's up to you to really work on communicating that well. So that's my advice.
Wow, I have nothing to add because that was just perfect. So thank you so much, Ashley, for dropping some gems today and giving some wonderful advice about scholarships and how to get them and win them. Where can the people find you and support your work?
Thank you. And Rachel, I want to say thank you so much. I've enjoyed this conversation. I feel like two old friends, you know, talking from back in the day. So thank you so much. The questions have been amazing. It's been an amazing conversation. So where can you find me at? You can find me pretty much all the way around. My website is scholarshipsuccessschool.com. I'm on Instagram, Scholarship Strategist, where I'm sharing tidbits and things like that all the time. I'm on LinkedIn. So if you've got any parents listening and maybe you're really big on LinkedIn because of your work, then I share tips over there as well. I'm on Twitter at Prep for College, if you're on the Twitter platform. And then also just really, if you're interested, is I actually have a program. It runs all year long. This is strictly for like groups. So if there's a group, like a church organization that wants me to come in and work with their students, this whole process that I've been talking about with Rachel is what we do. We go through it step by step. But maybe you're listening and you're like, Ashley, that sounds great, but I don't want to do that. That's a lot of work looking for scholarships. And I actually have on my team, we actually pull them for you. And we work on you. So since you're not doing the searching, then we work with you through the scholarship essay process, the writing, the development, and the editing process. So those are our main services.
Wow, thank you so much, Ashley. Y'all definitely tap in if you want to learn more. But thank you so much to Ashley for taking the time.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right, y'all. So the culture shout out for today goes to Scholarship Success School, which is founded by Ashley Hill, who y'all heard drop some wonderful gems today in this episode. So Scholarship Success School is the ultimate resource to help you find the perfect scholarships. It's jam-packed with every tool and resource that you need in order to help you find the right scholarships without wasting time. They offer a scholarship roadmap, a remote interactive workshop, and a video series. Plus, you get 24/7 access to a private community to ask questions and get support. Scholarship Success School is definitely one of a kind and has helped so many people win scholarships that I am certain they will help you win some as well. So if you're going to go to college or graduate school, if you're in college right now, if you're in high school, basically no matter how old you are, if you need help getting scholarships, check out Scholarship Success School. All right. Their website is scholarshipsuccessschool.com. And also check out their Instagram for more informative content at Scholarship Strategist. That's their Instagram. Amazing. I'm looking to get into it too because I need some money for school. And if this is just a crumb, this episode was just a crumb of what Ashley could offer. So if you want the whole package, Scholarship Success School is where you gotta go. So go to their website or check out their Instagram at Scholarship Strategist. And if you want a shout out, feel free to hit me up on Instagram at College for the Culture, and you could be featured next time. Thank you.
you all so much for tuning into this episode. Before I sign off, just wanted to let y'all know that this may be my last podcast episode. I know, crazy. But it's right now I'm about to enter medical school, and I think that I can't really keep it up as much as I used to. Things are kind of getting busier and busier for me as time goes on. So I think this is the end of this season. Maybe, I don't know, I might come back like in a year or in a few months from now and drop something. You never know. But I think we're going to take a big pause for now. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. No matter where you are in the country or in the world. Thank y'all. I really appreciate all the love and all the support. Thank y'all to all the guests that came here to share their perspectives on college and college life and college admissions and everything in general. It's been really cool doing this for the past like year and a half. It's really crazy. But the past year and a half, College for the Culture is not like over. I'm just transitioning more to Instagram. I'm going to be really posting a lot more content, a lot more in-depth content that is more informative and educational for people, instead of just like surface level stuff. I think that's like easier for me to upkeep than a podcast and Instagram. So that's where my head is at right now. But once again, I appreciate everyone that's just been a part of this journey in one way, shape, or form, whether you've donated, whether you've listened to an episode or all of them, whether you've been on the podcast, even people that have been, you know, texting me, talking to me about it, whether you follow me on Instagram. I appreciate all the love and support. This is like very random idea that I had during the pandemic, and it's really amazing how far it's come, how many people I've met I never thought I would meet, and yeah, how many people have learned from it and stuff. So I'm really appreciative. Just stay tuned, okay? Follow the Instagram for more. I know that it's been a big of a hiatus type of thing, because like I said in the beginning, I was on my last semester of college, okay? And that was really stressful. But we graduating or whatever, so I'm excited about that. I'm officially a graduate and have my bachelor's degree. So I'm really thankful, but I had to buckle down in order to get that. So, and thank y'all for checking in on me about that. You know, I really appreciate it. But yeah, so this is a see you later. Not a goodbye, but a see you later in terms of the podcast. But like I said, follow me on the Instagram. I'm so excited. I have many ideas on what to do and like who to help and what to share. So I'm really looking forward to it. If you have any ideas on what you want to see on the Instagram, hit me up anytime. All right. So if you liked this podcast, if you liked all the episodes, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it if you do. For more content or suggestions on the Instagram or for College for the Culture in general, or if you want to talk to me about college stuff, you could follow us on IG at College for the Culture. And if you want to consult with me about anything, email me at collegefortheculture@gmail.com. So take care of yourselves, y'all. God bless y'all. And don't forget that we see y'all and we got y'all. Bye.